I hope you all had a good Christmas, and if you didn't, I hope that the Spirit of Christ comes in comfort to you as he comes to all of us. Let's pray before we begin. Gracious God, we thank you for your Son, for Jesus Christ, for this child born under less than ideal circumstances, come to change the world. We thank you that you invite us to join in this story, to participate in the good news, and we ask that you would make us brave enough to do it. In the name of that precious baby Jesus, we pray. Amen. There are a great many English Christmas carols that we sing around this time of year. We've even sung some of them today. I love listening to them, but both the familiar ones and the unfamiliar ones. Many of them tell of the birth of Jesus or different elements of the story. I was reflecting this week on the shepherd's portrayal in these songs. In Silent Night, which we just sang, the line that talks about their reaction to the glory of heaven says that the shepherds quaked at the sight. Not exactly a heroic portrayal. In While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night, which is another one, the angel tells them to fear not. The song says that mighty dread had seized their troubled hearts. Sort of a similar ring, citing the shepherds for their fear and troubled minds. Interestingly, in Angels We Have Heard on High, the shepherds are asked a question, but they're almost a side note to the story. They say, can you explain the angel song? Why are they singing? What did they come for? What is the point? Another older one, Angels from the Realms of Glory, talks about the shepherds watching in the field, taking care of their flock, telling the shepherds that God has come. I think this is probably the fairest representation so far. It doesn't criticize the shepherds exclusively, but tells of their role as those who receive the story and the good news of Christ's birth. So our text today is about the shepherds, and also the angels, baby Jesus, and his parents, the people that the shepherds told about the child, and of course, about us. So we're going to start in Luke 2, 8 through 20, which is the second half of the story that we did last week. I'm reading from the NRSV. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. So this text starts just after the birth of Jesus. The verse before tells us that Mary wrapped her baby in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. Immediately after, it seems, some shepherds in a nearby field get some visitors. These shepherds are just doing their job, watching over their flocks at nighttime to ensure that no harm or danger came to them. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord, unnamed, stands in front of them. Now, I don't know about you, but an unknown figure would have been enough for me to handle. But then the glory of the Lord shines all around them. In the darkness of this Judean night, this must have been extremely unsettling for the poor shepherds. In fact, the text says that they were terrified. The word there is a very intense word. They're afraid of this sudden appearance, the light, the seeming angelic figure. Then we get the proclamation. The angel speaks to them, saying, "Do not be afraid." This angelic saying has already come up in this season for us when we talked about Mary receiving the announcement from the angel Gabriel and the news of her divine pregnancy, but it's also found in Zechariah's story and in many others in the Hebrew Testament before it. Instead, the angel tells them that the news is good and not bad, which is always something that you want to know before you get news. And it isn't just good news, it's really good news. And that good news is not just for the people in this town or in this region, those who are Jewish, or just at this time period, but instead this is good news for all people. Good news of great joy. This means that inherently the news has to be shared, otherwise the good news is only good for a few in a field in the middle of the night. So what is the good news? What is this great joy for all people? I'm confident that the shepherds were curious as much as they were terrified by this proclamation. The text reads, "To you is born on this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Is a child being born really worth all of this commotion? Even a prophesied child, it seems, a lot of effort to go through just to make a birth announcement. I hear you can take them out in the newspaper. It's really not that big of a deal. But this child would change the world and would reorient our ideas about glory and peace, about sacrifice and justice, about mercy and love, and what it means to be really known. By this baby who would be a chubby toddler and then a chaotic youngling and a gangly teenager, the whole world would be given the chance to know God and to know God in fullness. The angel then gives them some instructions about how to find the child. This follows in the path of the signs that we've talked about before, that the shepherds can know with confidence that what has been told to them by the angel is true, because they find out that the baby really is in a manger wrapped in strips of cloth. The shepherds needed a way to be confident that this wasn't just a very weird mirage, but that the angel was telling the truth. The next line of my text reads, "And suddenly." Maybe yours says immediately or all at once, but the sentiment is the same. Immediately, after the angel gets finished, maybe even before the angel is finished speaking, as if there's an interruption, the angel is cut off by another huge group of angels and other heavenly beings who could barely wait until the news was out. They begin the very next moment to praise God, to rejoice at the whole efforts of God to bring the people to the Savior. They're praising God, I'm sure, like a noisy cacophony, hundreds of voices saying and singing different things. You can only probably catch snippets on the wind of what was being said, so loud and chaotic was the moment. The author of the Gospel writes that one line is clear enough to be heard. This repeated phrase, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." Glory and peace, these two things shared in this moment between the heavens and the earth, meeting now with the angels and these late night shepherds. For the heavenly hosts, there is no other response than joy at this moment to tell the truth of the story to these who were listening. The birth of Jesus that they had long awaited had finally come, and their exuberance and excitement was just overflowing. They rushed to share this with the shepherds, trying to communicate in this moment just how big this was, just how much this would change things. I'm sure these shepherds were a little puzzled, maybe dazed by what's happening. I'm sure they didn't really know how exactly they were supposed to react to this noisy party in the middle of the night. We have no idea, according to the text, how long the hosts and angels were singing and praising God, how long they continued repeating this phrase. It could have been just a few moments, or it could have been a very long time, but I'm not really sure that it mattered because the moment itself is contained in praise and in joy. Once the voices had faded and the heavens were once again back to dark sky and stars, the shepherds turned to one another. The only next logical thing for them to do was to investigate. They say to one another, "Let us go and find that which the Lord has made known to us." So they leave in pursuit of this child who came with such a multitude of praise. The text says that they went in haste. They're really not dragging their feet about finding this promised child. When they arrived, the sign from the angels was true. They found the baby just as it had been told to them. Now, once they find the child, they begin to make that story known. They told it to everyone they interacted with, maybe even seeking out new people to tell them this story. The proclamation of God is often a terrifying one, but it is also compelling, almost as if it has to be shared. In this case, the shepherds proclaim because they were proclaimed too, following in the example of the angels who shared this good news with them. The text says that everyone who heard it was amazed at what they had been told by the shepherds. So wonderful, so miraculous, so fantastical was the news that the shepherds couldn't stop sharing about it. It was too good to keep to themselves. And one of the last things our text tells us about this portion of the story of Christ's birth is that after the shepherds had experienced all of these things and had themselves begun to tell the story to others, they returned to their work, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as it had been told to them. Once they had the story, and once they shared it, the only other response was praise. Just like the angels, they proclaimed the message of God through Christ's presence on earth, and then they praised God for that peace that had come through the favor of the Lord. This praise is probably a little less noisy than the angels, just maybe shouting about in a field with some slightly startled sheep. But it seems the only true response to the good news of Jesus' birth is to tell others and to honor God for the gift of Jesus. And through the season, we received the annunciation of the angel Gabriel, prepared ourselves for the miracle of Christ, waited in expectation for this coming child, and heard the fulfillment of all of God's work in the baby Jesus. We have a chance now to join in the proclamation of that story, of the good news of great joy for all people. We join in a long line of proclaimers, from the angels to the shepherds, later to Simeon and Anna in the temple, to the many who would know Jesus in his life, who would be healed, who would tell of the truth later of his death and his resurrection. This time is our chance to proclaim the truth of God with us, God in a body, God who came as a human baby boy. This is news coming to everyone, those who have money and those without, those with social standing and importance, and those who are outside, those who are included, and those who are excluded. No matter where you find yourself or others in society, know that Jesus' incarnation turns the whole social, economic, and political order upside down. No longer do we follow rulers with swords, but ones with towels who wash feet. The good news of the incarnation is for all and must be good news. Good news does not put others or on self a heavy burden of right rule following like a tightrope we fall off at any minute, but grace to live freely in righteousness instead. Good news does not mean darkness that prevents us from seeing clearly, but a darkness of being held in the arms of someone that you love and who loves you, the light of freedom and joy and equality. All of these things are bound up in the news of Jesus. And it is our place as those who know this story, who have heard it like the shepherds, to go out as they do and proclaim it. To proclaim it to your children or your grandchildren, who need to hear the story over and over again until it becomes familiar and beloved. To proclaim it to your coworkers and your friends, remembering that praise and gratitude are in themselves an incredible proclamation that blesses those who hear it. To proclaim it to yourself when you're struggling to remember why you keep going, why you sacrifice your money and time, why you choose holiness when it is easier not to. To proclaim it to the world, bravely stating your faith in an incarnate God, and even more bravely, backing that faith with humble, holy, compassionate living that shows a love that allows people to know that you are God's first. We are proclaimers of good news, of a baby born in a manger wrapped in strips of cloth, of a man who did miracles, taught truths, and lived a perfect life, of a man who died though he was faultless, and in his death and resurrection brings the chance for life for everyone. This is the story that we proclaim. You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these broadcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.